Christmas means to me, it means family. It means being close to the ones you love and remembering all the good things you have in life.
A time when you can spend time with your families, eat loads of food.
I'm a new dad and my son was born in March, so I'm very, very excited about spending the day with him and seeing him open his presents and then see really his reaction and my family's or his grandparents' reaction.
Plus, there's always the advantage of getting the day off work, which is always great.
What I really love is on Christmas Eve going to Midnight Mass and everybody coming together and all the candles being lit and singing carols and songs and things like that and seeing all my friends.
Presents, you get time with your family.
Money.
Yeah.
Clothes.
Peace.
Yeah. Nice big dinner.
Yeah, roast, turkey.
Yeah, dinner's the best.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah. It means that I get to eat like good food that's not from Iceland that costs a pound and is covered in salt, and I don't have to cook it for once. I don't have to do my own washing either. I get to sleep in a nice comfy bed and my house is warm, which is in uni. My house has no heating and my bed is very much hard.
Being together, just having a nice time and thinking of people less fortunate, I suppose.
I think it means family. I think the religious aspect is one thing, but I think it's more about family getting together, for me anyway. I live in the United States, so I come over for Christmas to be with my family, and it's important.
Well, really, it's meeting the grandchildren, I suppose, really, you know, and they're all being together. They all sing little songs, and we all have a good time, you know, I mean, and it'll be lovely, you know, there, yeah.
To me, Christmas means spending time with your family and friends and having a good old drink.
Works better. Just testing. Well done, Caroline. There's a sweet. So what are you hoping for this Christmas? Just ask yourself that question for a moment. What is it you want this Christmas? Now, there's all sorts of things, and there are all sorts of answers. I'm sure we could guess some of the things the kids might want. Perhaps it's some of these. Who knows what these are? Fingerlings. Who's heard of fingerlings? I hadn't, but apparently it's one of the number one toys this year. And these are little monkeys that can kind of crawl around and move on their own, which sounds slightly scary. Maybe you want fingerlings for Christmas this year. Or perhaps you'd like one of these. The Xbox One X. Who likes an Xbox One? Maybe you'd like that for Christmas. Perhaps that's what you're hoping for. How about chocolates? Who likes chocolate for Christmas? Who's had too much chocolate already? Not out of date. Well, those chocolates will be out of date because I think they're quite a nostalgic looking lot. What about this? This is my personal favourite. The Super Nintendo Classic. And I played this now. I played this back in about 1995 and it was one of my favourite things to do. And they've re-released it now. A little tiny version with all the best games on it. Super Mario Kart. So maybe you'd like a Super Nintendo Classic for Christmas. Or maybe you're not quite as materialistic as me. And perhaps what you like for Christmas is just a really nice time with the family. Nice meal. Who likes good food for Christmas? Sit around, you have fun, you play games, things like that. Or maybe what you want this Christmas is just to avoid a row. And sometimes Christmas can go like that, can't it? You have all these expectations. And in the end, you think, I just wish the day would be over. But hopefully you're not feeling like that. But it can go a little bit like that sometimes. So what it is. So one of the themes that came out of the video when we asked all those questions to people was the answers they were giving was it was family and spending time together. Now, as children, they find that extremely strange, don't they? You know, who goes to bed at night thinking, I just can't wait till tomorrow so I can spend time with my brothers and sisters? Is that what you're thinking, kids? Is that what you're hoping for? Just a really nice time. You see, they don't get it, do they? It's like every year it was... You kind of go to bed excited as a kid, don't you? And you're thinking about that Lego castle that you're going to get or the games that you're going to play and things like that. But it's not about relationship. Sorry? For Christmas, well, surely you wrote to Santa and you'd have a list somewhere. So, controversial. He works for Jesus. That's what we told our kids. So, anyway, Christmas, before we lose it completely, Christmas is all about relationships. And we don't actually learn that until we get a bit older. You see, as I was growing up, I remember wanting all the presents and things like that. But actually, it wasn't those presents that were memorable. Maybe there was one or two that I think, yeah, that was a good present to have. But actually, Christmases that I remember are much more to do with the relationships that I had and the things that went on. I want to tell you about two Christmases that stick in my memory. And one was good, one was bad. The first one was the good one. My lovely wife, Catherine, and I, we just got together. I'd spent months chasing her, and she finally relented. And we started going out, and we were talking about, you know, this could be it and everything else. And her family actually invited me to West Wales for Christmas. And so I kind of thought, well, this could be my opportunity. I've never, you know, I haven't met her father before, and I want to ask his permission for a hand in marriage, as you do. And so I thought, this is going to be it. So they invited us up for Christmas. And Catherine's family, they're all Christians, and she's got three brothers and sister-in-laws as well, and they've got kids and stuff. And we just got together, and we had such a fantastic time. And I'd never had a Christmas like it, where we just all enjoyed each other's company. We had so much fun. We were laughing. We were playing games. Now, I was a bit nervous all week because I had this question in my mind, and I thought, what I want to do is wait to the last minute, so I've got a few days to make a really good impression. So I thought, I don't want to jump in and say, can I marry your daughter? I thought, I've got to kind of woo the father. You know, that's how it works, isn't it? And so it was quite a nervous week. But actually, what was good about it was that we just hung out together, and we just played games. We had fun. The relationships were just brilliant. And so we got to know each other. They asked questions. We asked questions. And so I really remembered that Christmas because we just had a nice time together. It was just like being with family. And they welcomed me in, and her dad fortunately said yes, and gave him a couple of brandies before I asked, you know. That's not true, in case they listen to this. But so that was one of the Christmases that I remember. It's probably one of my favorite ones, and not least because I was with my lovely wife, and we had a great time away. But the other Christmas I remember was in about 2003, and it was just before I became a Christian. I was living up in London, and my family are lovely. Some of them are here, so I better not say too much about them. But we're a little bit disjointed at times, and so when we all get together, it doesn't always go that well. And so I didn't always look forward to those big family Christmases. But actually, this one year, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have Christmas on my own. And so I decided I'm going to buy all the nicest food I can get. I'm going to get myself some new games to play on my PlayStation. I'm going to get the latest films and sit there all day and just indulge myself. And so I was a really kind, loving person back then. And so that's what I did. And I made myself this big turkey dinner, and I was telling everyone how wonderful it was going to be. And do you know what? I sat there, and I did all those things, and it got to about 7 o'clock. I thought, I'm ready for bed. I don't think I laughed once the whole day, because why would I on my own? That would be strange. And it was the most miserable, rubbish Christmas you could ever have. And so what was important and what came out of that was that I realized, and maybe I didn't realize it at the time, but I realize it now, looking back, as we get older, that Christmas is really only fun and joyful because of the people that we enjoy it with. Now, maybe you kids are thinking, you know, you'd be willing to exchange a brother or sister for the latest computer game. But actually, as you get older, you'll realize that what makes Christmas fun is having people to share it with. So the other thing is to say that presents break, don't they? Fingerlings won't last. Your iPhone gets updated and slowed down by Apple. Game consoles. Mine did. Game consoles become ancient history, but loving relationships can bring lasting and deep joy that can go on and on. Now, I'm conscious that the reality for many of us actually might not be particularly joyful at this time of year. It can be quite a difficult time, can't it? Because we have a lack of loving relationships. It might be that we don't just have any close family or friends nearby. Or maybe we did once, but for some reason we don't anymore. Maybe it's because of bereavement. Maybe we've lost loved ones, husbands, wives, parents, siblings, children, friends. The relationships are simply not there anymore. And actually, this can be a really tough time. And so I'm kind of aware of that Christmas for some people can be really super exciting and joyful. And then for others, actually, it could be a hard time because we remember the relationships that we once had, perhaps, and have lost. But there's this temptation, isn't there, especially in the culture and society, is what we try to do is we replace people with stuff. Like I did that Christmas. I thought, I know what I need. I need more stuff and less people. I thought, that'll make me happy. And actually, it does the exact opposite, doesn't it? And so, kids, let me tell you this. All those presents that you think are going to make you happy, you're going to open them, and probably by Boxing Day, you'll have forgotten about most of them. So what you can get is really excited about all these presents that you're going to have, but actually what really will make you happy is to have really good, fun, loving relationships with your brothers and sisters, with your mums and dads, and with your friends. And actually, that's what Christmas is all about. See, the reality is whoever we are, we all crave and desire peaceful relationships. We're all made that way. And you know that God knows that we're wired in such a way because he made us like that. He made us for a peaceful, loving relationship with other people and ultimately a peaceful relationship with God himself. And that's what Christmas is about. You see, Christmas exists to restore the broken relationship between us, all humans, and God himself. That's what Christmas really is. See, there was once a time when God and man were family. There was a great relationship that was close and intimate. It says in the Bible that God walked with man in the garden. That they were close and intimate. There was a good relationship there. But then there was this tragic relationship breakdown that happened. You hear about the fall of man where sin came into the world and where man basically tried to replace the good and fulfilling family relationship he had with God with stuff, with status. And as is always the case, the stuff could never replace the best relationship that we ever had. But that's why Christmas exists. Because God knows. So whatever you want this Christmas, whether it's pigs in blanket, fingerlings, Xboxes, God knows that what you need most is a relationship with him and a relationship with other people. It's what we all need. We all need to be brought back into his family. We need to know the Heavenly Father who made us and loves us. That's what's going to give us peace at Christmas. There's this verse in Galatians chapter 4. It says this. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So what it's saying is that God sent his son so that we could be sons and daughters of God again. That was the reason Jesus came. That was the reason we celebrate Christmas. And he's done exactly what's necessary for us to be able to get what we need. He sent his son into the world in order to restore the peace that was lost between man and God when humans were naughty and disobeyed God. So let's ask a few questions. Let's ask the young people again. Let's see if we, a little bit of Bible trivia. So who knows why we celebrate Christmas? Hands up, kids. Whose birthday is it? Go on, Jake. Jesus was born that day. Well done, Jake. Have a sweet. Can someone be in charge of sweet handing out? Johnny. Okay, so next question. So who was Jesus? Come on, Jack. The Son of God. Exactly the answer I've got here. Well done. Have a sweet or an orange if you prefer. And was Jesus always good or was he sometimes naughty? Think, James? He was always good, wasn't he? Now, what about us? What about people? Are we always good or are we sometimes naughty? Now, let me just say, Santa isn't listening. He's packing his thing up, sleigh up, over in New Zealand somewhere probably right now. So what about people? Are we always good? What do you think, Sophie? We're sinners, yes, to use the word sin there. Very well, Esther. We are sometimes naughty, aren't we? Even, did you know this, kids? Even your mums and dads and your grandparents are sometimes naughty. Sometimes we do things wrong. Sometimes we still choose stuff and things over obeying God. Sometimes we choose to disobey God in order to get something that we want rather than obeying God in order to do something that he wants. So why did Jesus die? It's because, go on then, I'll let you answer that one, Gideon. Say that again. Go on, Sophie, you say it for him. That's right. So Jesus died, didn't he, to pay the price for our sin. Because it's only through Jesus that we can get a relationship with God again. And so there's this separation between mankind and God, and this relationship needed fixing. And so Jesus comes down and he lives the life that we couldn't live. He lives that perfect life with God. And then he dies on the cross and takes the punishment for our sin that we deserve so that God can then make us sons and daughters again. And we discover that peace that only a relationship with God could bring. Now, there's a very well-known verse that says some of this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Now, who knows where that verse is from? You get two sweets if you get this. Go on, Caroline. John 3:16. Well done, Caroline. Two sweets for Caroline. That's brilliant. So it's a really well-known verse, but actually that sums up the whole message of Jesus, of why he came. It's because God the Father loved his children so much, but he needed a way to restore the relationship with us. But he couldn't just turn a blind eye to the sin, to the bad things that we'd done, because that would have made him an unjust God. So he needed to remain just. He still needed to punish sin, but he made a way to do it that enabled us to still have a relationship with God. And that's why he sends Jesus, and he puts the sin of the world onto Jesus, who takes it in our place on the cross. And that is the good news of the gospel. That's what we celebrate. That's why we look forward to Christmas, because it's the birth of Jesus who came to take away the sin of the world. So, we were the ones who abandoned God. It wasn't the other way around. We were the ones who ruined the relationship with our selfishness. We should have been the ones to take steps to make it right again. But God took the action. God sent his Son. See, Jesus was born in a manger. He lived and died on the cross in our place, paying the price for our sins, so that in exchange, we could become sons and daughters of God when we put our faith in Jesus. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, however much family you do or don't have on this earth, you can come and be adopted into the family of God. That's who we are this morning. When the church gathers, it's the family of God coming together. I love being in church, not because I'm super religious or I like the singing or anything else. I just like being with the family of God because I meet people in church that understand what it is to have a relationship with their Father in heaven. And it kind of reminds me of what I've got. It reminds me of how amazing God is, that he has taken away all that sin and selfishness. And I'm still sinful and selfish sometimes, but I know that Jesus has paid the price for it. So I don't have to live in fear of it anymore. I can live in freedom, knowing that God has made a way for me to have peace with him again. And he can do that for you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never put your faith in him, you can do that. You can ask him into your life. You can ask him to come and die on the cross in place for your sin. And you can have a relationship with your Father in heaven. It says this in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that peace. It's what we all need on the inside. And actually, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never put your faith in him, you won't know what that peace feels like. You'll just know what you want inside. And I remember feeling that. I remember craving just this sense. I had this sense of guilt. I had this sense of just things weren't quite right inside of me. And then I met Jesus, and I discovered that he had died to pay the price for my sin. And what I got in exchange for that was that I got peace in my heart. I suddenly knew that me and God were okay. And it was the thing I'd been looking for all my life. I try to find that in all kinds of other places, which is what we do, isn't it? At Christmas, we just kind of look around. We think, well, if I just had that, that would make me happy. Or if I just had that person, that would make me happy. That relationship, that thing. What is the thing? What is it you're hoping for this Christmas? Let me tell you, the thing that will work the best, if you like, the thing that will only work is peace with God. And you get that through Jesus, through what he did on the cross, through him coming and living the life that we couldn't live, and dying in our place. So that's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to give your life to Jesus, is that you receive adoption into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, into his church. It's a wonderful place to be. We're still humans, we still make mistakes, we still mess up, but actually what we know is we know peace with God. That just is an amazing thing to have, and so you can have that too this Christmas. So there's three things that we can do in response to this. First thing is we need to respond. We need to respond to this love of God and this offer of adoption and family relationship. If you're not yet a Christian, then let me tell you that as valuable as family on earth is, the joy of being able to call God your Father is much more valuable than this. He's dealt with a relationship breakdown and all the issues, so you don't need to worry about it. Whatever you've done or not done in your life, God is calling you to him this Christmas. Young and old, this is for you. Let me encourage you to respond to God's love and come back into his family by asking Jesus to become your Savior. We also need to remember, so let's respond, remember, as you enjoy your family Christmas, or even if you miss your family this Christmas, whenever you're mindful of the importance of family this year, kids, you appreciate your family much more than you realize. Don't forget, but remember, the reason why Christmas exists is because God is so aware of the importance of family in enjoying our Christmases and our experiences in our life. As you open your stockings together tomorrow, who's got a stocking, do you reckon? Ooh, hopefully I've got one. Catherine, hint, hint. And when you open your stockings tomorrow morning and you think it's all about the presents, remember that actually that what we're celebrating is the birth of Jesus. We need to remember that he came so that he could bring us back into God's family. We don't want to separate the enjoyment of family and how much you miss the Christmas. We don't want to separate the enjoyment of your family or how much you miss family this Christmas from the joy of being in God's family. Remember what God has done for you. And then react. Let's imitate God in how he's extended his hand to us. He invited us into his family. Let's react to it and reenact it in our lives. God paid a great price so that he could invite us into his family. What could you do to invite people into your family this Christmas? I do wonder if there are people around, perhaps they haven't got anywhere to go, perhaps they don't have family around. I think as a church, it's such a good thing just to extend that same grace that God extended to us. And so maybe what you need to do is send someone a text this afternoon and say, hey, fancy coming for Christmas lunch tomorrow. Perhaps if you're in a position to do that, it just might be something worth thinking about because it just shows the love of God to people. There go the sweets. Children, here's a suggestion. Maybe you could buy a small gift, a small Christmas present, and take it to school when you go back and maybe give it to that kid who doesn't have many friends. I've lost them. They've gone. Johnny dropped the sweets. Parents, tell your kids. Perhaps they could do that and show the love of God to a kid in the school or in the class that needs it. And adults, maybe you could do the same in the workplace. Maybe there's someone at work that you find slightly annoying or a bit odd. And perhaps what we need to do is go and extend a gift to them. Give them something and just say you've been thinking about them this Christmas. See, at Christmas time, as we see from the video, many people think that family is the only thing that Christmas is about, don't they? It's like the guy was saying, it's, you know, sort of separated from all the religious stuff. But actually, I'm confident if you ask God himself what Christmas is about, he would answer by saying the very same thing, that Christmas is about family, it's about my family. The truth is that God is fully behind that sentiment that Christmas is about family. God is so into family that he went to the cross to die so that he could restore our relationship with him so we could have joy again together. The very reason Christmas exists is because of family, because God sent his son that we might receive adoption into sonship. So what we all need this Christmas is to have peace with our Heavenly Father who loves us and made us. And like I said, that verse, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, through a relationship with Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it for this morning. Let's stand together. We're going to have one more carol. And I'm just going to pray. As we do that, let's just remember Jesus this Christmas. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your son because you love family, because you want us to be in your family, Lord. I pray for all our children here this Christmas, Lord. I pray, will they start to understand that Christmas is about so much more than presents. Lord, it's about your presence, actually. It's about your son, Jesus, who came and lived, died for us. And so, Lord, we want to give you glory this Christmas. Lord, will you come into our lives? Lord, will you speak to us? Lord, will you be with us at our Christmas meals tomorrow, Lord? And I pray for those that are without family this year, Lord. I pray that they will find family in your church. And I pray that they'll find family in your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray for any that don't know him, Lord. I pray, will you come into their lives, Lord? Will you bring them into your church, Lord? And will you change their lives for eternity? In Jesus' name.